It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in all over North America, listening on the free Odyssey app, your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate, SiriusXM 375. And if you got a smart speaker, ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. Yeah, we talked about a lot. There's a lot of basketball going on. I mean, we're waiting on the NFL draft. Apparently, we got some bad news if you're Shedeur Sanders. He's healthy. He's fine. But there's so many rumors about his draft stock, and it's just not looking good for that man right now. But anyway, we'll talk more about Shedeur Sanders in a little bit. How about this? We know Michael Malone got fired from the Denver Nuggets. We're going to have a chat with Vinny Benedetto. He covers the Nuggets for the Denver Gazette. Did he have any idea that things were this bad in Denver, Colorado? And things are bad for the Houston Cougars, specifically Kelvin Sampson. It's almost like Dusty Baker. He's like, I coach forever, I'm managing forever, and to actually win as a manager, it took him some time. Kelvin Sampson, he continues to wait. There's so much we're getting into. Hey, we're waiting for the Masters. I'm waiting on the Masters. Can't wait for that. And LIV Golf and the PGA still trying to figure things out. Hey, relationships are complicated, people, okay? You could be a Denver Nuggets. You could be the Mavericks. Hey, by the way, Hickey, we are almost already here. How about that? Time flies. I feel like Luka was traded yesterday, February 1st. Luka is back in Dallas tomorrow. How the hell did we get here already? I feel like when he first played the Mavs a couple of weeks ago, it felt like a long ways away that we'd see him back in Dallas. It's tomorrow.
I'm excited because the trade feels like it was last year. It feels at this point right. So long ago that it's like, okay, it's almost like finally we're here. We finally get to see what the reaction is going to be. Well, we know what it's going to be, but actually hear it and see it. Be another thing there. It's going to be a tough day to be Nico Harrison. Well, every day, I guess, is a tough day for him at this point.
The fan yelled at him to his face that he sucks. I mean, yeah, there's certain things you got to be used to. I'm sure he's used to hearing it at this point in time. Dallas Mavericks, let's be real. Kyrie Irving is hurt. Anthony Davis was hurt. Every time I see him play, it's just like a minor miracle. The Dallas Mavericks have a record of 12-18 since the Luka trade. Meanwhile, the Lakers are 20-11 since the Luka trade. Luka is averaging 27-7-8 rebounds. And the Los Angeles Lakers are hoping that they could go on some type of run here. You never know. I mean, tonight they play against the Oklahoma City Thunder. And it was even a thought or a concern whether or not they even want to suit up against those guys, just in case they have to take them on in the postseason. The Dallas Mavericks, what are they thinking about? Vacation. It's as simple as that. And ironically, Mark Cuban is still running around letting everybody know, I'm not a fan of this. I don't approve of this. Mark Cuban, he was on Stephen A. Smith's show. Yeah, he has a show, and then he does the other show, and then he says he wants to run for president. He's leaving it open. I mean, what a world we live in. Hickey, I might do the reverse. I might just go to Canada. I think I might do that. Like, come on now. I nominate Kermit the Frog for president. How about that?
Hey, why not?
I need Kermit as president. I need vice president as Elmo vice president. I need Secretary of Defense. He does a good job defending himself. Oscar the Grouch.
Nice.
Yeah, he lives in a can. He knows about defense, right?
That he does. I think our borders would be secure.
Well, do we stuff the country in a trash can? How do we do that? I don't know.
Well, we got to see what Oscar says. I trust him. Whatever he says, I will follow blindly.
he works with those worms, too. You know, he got all them worms.
He got a lot of people listening to him.
He does. Now I'm thinking about it. You know what the worms I'm talking about, right?
I do not.
Oh, my God. It's like a family of worms. I don't know if it's a family. It's just... I'm just trying to think about whether those worms live in the trash can with Oscar or outside. I don't know. I'm gonna Google that in a break. Anyway, if Stephen A. Smith can run for president, I guess whatever. I know who won't be his running mate. Won't. LeBron James. It'll be. Well, anyway, Hickey, what do we got? Four more years?
Four more. Well, less than that now, but
three,
yeah.
Right? Three?
Three in about 10 months.
Yeah, we. When is the next election? We just had one in 24, so.
28.
Wow, yeah. 3 years, three more years. A deep sigh. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Speaking of something that's felt like years.
What happened?
So speaking of times that have felt like years.
I feel like I'm aging, Bob. Every day feels like 1 year to me, so I feel like that's the way that I'm aging. Well, anyway, before we get to 2028, let's take a listen to what Mark Cuban told Stephen A. Smith just a couple days ago.
What the biggest mistake was in trying to understand Luka is he's from the Balkans, right? He's Slovenian, and, you know, you look at Jokic, who's Serbian, and you look at Serbian players in general. They're just a different mindset, right? They look at the game different. They look at life differently. They look at they're emotionally, you know, the guys that I've gotten to know from that region of the world are different. And I think that was what was not considered as fully as it should have been. That you've got to understand what people are like, what their backgrounds are like, who they are personally, what their families are like, you know, how they interact with other people. And from that part of the world, in my experiences, Luka was just, you know, other than the basketball talent, he was just like every other guy.
Uh-oh. Hickey, every other guy in the NBA? Well, I guess. I don't know. Like, what's... Does Jason Tatum, is he smoking hookah and drinking beers? I don't think so, right?
I mean, LeBron drinks a lot of wine.
Yeah, but if you got to look at the results and look at the bodies, right?
Well, true. LeBron also puts the work in to work off that wine. I don't think Luka does.
What? Who's 6'8" that balling out that looks like that? Not even James Harden looks like that, you know?
No, that's another guy that could maybe use the LeBron diet and regimen.
Well, he's still going, and he doesn't take games off. He's always playing. It's just tricky. And I know Luka is going to be out there lighting them up tomorrow. It's going to be a fun watch, you know. And even Brian Windhorst, as we get closer and closer to this game tomorrow, he was on ESPN yesterday. And you thought fans were disrespecting Nico Harrison to his face? Well, Brian Windhorst did it on TV. Listen.
I know we're all going to focus on Luka, as we should. But the Mavericks not getting Austin Reeves in that trade is malpractice. Austin Reeves has been, as Shannon alluded to, Austin Reeves has been awesome in this last month, especially in this last week and last couple weeks when LeBron hasn't been great. And the fact that the Mavericks didn't get Austin Reeves in that trade remains insane. And Reeves is just proving it night in and night out.
Yeah, we know. Mavericks are stupid. Nuggets are dumb, not as dumb as the Mavericks. And they're just going to suffer for a few years, the Dallas Mavericks will. Congratulations. And then also, unfortunately, speaking of suffering, Hickey, this is bad. I believe this is going to be the last time that we discuss Kelvin Sampson the rest of this year. Do you think so? Possibly?
No, I think probably.
Ah, wow. I wish it was on a higher note. Most people, including myself and then Hickey and Marco Belletti and Rich Ackerman and our guests that we had on, most people, Hickey, except for David Lee. I think David Lee had Florida all the way. What a shock. Most people had Houston winning last night, and they choked it away. And so I wish that, you know, outside of those turnovers, and that they were be able to hold on, and that we could have more of a positive conversation about Kelvin Sampson, who is 69 years old. He's been in Houston since 2016. He has almost an 80% winning percentage with the Cougars. And out of all his years, not just at Houston, quick stop at Indiana, Oklahoma, Washington State, all these years that he would have a chance to win the big one. This man has gone to three Final Fours. and has yet to win a title. This time, first championship, doesn't win. It stinks. 2021, lost to Baylor, the eventual champs. And last night, they couldn't even get a shot off at the end of the game to ultimately win it. I want you to listen to Kelvin Sampson, because he reacted. He's just like, yeah, we didn't even get a shot off to try to win the game. He couldn't believe it.
At the end, you've got to get a shot. That's got to do better than that.
Kelvin, what were you hoping to get out of that last play?
Yeah, we have a set, and we thought if we could get Emmanuel to shot fake and get downhill, they probably should have shot fake that.
Yeah. I like how he says they, and specifically Emmanuel was the guy who had the basketball, who decided to shoot and then realized, I guess, he didn't like the shot, so he dropped the ball. And in order not to turn the ball over, he didn't touch it so it wouldn't be a travel. And then they just went to the toilet from there. That was just an odd play. Kelvin Sampson, always the gentleman. He did ultimately say that, hey, if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't even be in this position. I don't know if Sharp feels that way today. He probably feels miserable, but I assume he'll get over it. That's life, right? Kelvin Sampson continued on. He talked about losing to the Gators.
Just a 2-point difference. We could have done things better in the last 2 or 3 minutes, and I could have done things better. So it always starts with me. I always look at how I could have done better. But I'm so proud of this team. I love these kids. I love this staff. I love this program. And this one hurts. This one stings. But, you know, at some point, these guys will realize how special they are.
Oh, man. Yeah, when they're like 40. Hickey, when they're 40 or 50, which one is it?
I'll say 40. They'll get over it in 20 years.
Yeah, damn. Big man Juwan Roberts, he felt kind of bad. He was just like, man, we blew it for Coach. We suck.
Coach Sampson's been everything to me. From Coach Sampson down to grandkids, everybody played a part in me being here for 6 years. And I wanted it so bad for him. So, so, so bad. And it hurts because I can't do it next year. I can't put myself in position to do it next year. This will be my last time wearing my jersey, and I feel terrible. I told the younger guys, to the returners, to remember this feeling. So when you in this moment again, or you're in this situation again, you'll be on top.
Oh, wow. 6 years. Hickey, is he already 40 years old? Damn, how old is that guy? Yeah, how old is he? ESPN doesn't even show his age. What is he, Danny Almonte? Remember that guy?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Well, he is 23 years old. He'll be 24 in a couple of months. Well, let me not exaggerate. He'll be 24 in September. Wow. Damn. No wonder he's great on defense. 6'8", he's a grown man already. I mean, sheesh. Wow. This is tough. Ain't no seventh yet, please believe it. Unless you're going through COVID and you break your knees and your legs, it's just bad. Yeah, let's listen to Kelvin Sampson one more time, because it is highly likely that we hear from him or about him on this show, maybe until next year. Let's listen to Kelvin Sampson. This man talks about how much it sucks to lose this national championship. This is what he told CBS.
I'm so proud of this team for what they've done. You know, winning the Big 12, winning the Big 12 tournament, winning 5 consecutive games, and coming within a eyelash of winning a national championship. I love these kids. I love this staff. I love this program. And this one hurts. This one stings. But, you know, at some point, these guys will realize how special they are.
Yeah. And Juwan Roberts is close to having grandkids, and you know, he'll realize sooner than everybody else. What a world. I feel bad. I wanted to see Houston come out on top. I'm like, hey, Florida's going to have other chances. At least Todd Golden is 39. Kelvin Sampson here is 69. And It's sports. That's how it goes. Whether good, bad, or it's just how it goes sometimes. Some things make sense. Sometimes they don't. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, speaking of things that did not make sense, or maybe it does, I don't think it does. We're going to talk about this firing of Michael Malone with someone who covers the Denver Nuggets. Vinny Benedetto is going to join us from the Denver Gazette. I want to get his thoughts on how we got to this point with the Denver Nuggets. Was this well known that the general manager and the head coach hated each other? And who the hell would have ever thought it's a possibility that they would have both gotten the boot at the same exact time? We'll have the conversation with Vinny Benedetto on the other side. You're locked into the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm having fun at work. I try to have fun at work. I try my best. Anyway, somebody that did not have fun at work today is someone who got the boot. Michael Malone, no longer head coach of the Denver Nuggets. Calvin Booth, no longer the GM president of the Denver Nuggets. The Nuggets decided to give both of them the boot, despite winning a championship 2 years ago, despite having a winning record, despite injuries and a middling roster and departures. And the Denver Nuggets look like a joke. Either lying to the public, lying to their fans, or they are lying to themselves. So talk about what took place today and how we got to this point, what may come after this. Joining us right now is someone who covers this team, covers the Nuggets for the Denver Gazette. It's Vinny Benedetto. Vinny, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well. To play off the lead-in music, there was a lot of drama in the 303 today.
Oh, okay. There's no Snoop D-O-double-G, though, right? No? LBC, no?
No, none of that. Might be some, similar odors. But, no Snoop around Denver today.
I hear that. Well, I don't know. Maybe Mike Malone may be having some of that to relax and calm down. Were you surprised, Vinny, at this news that we got today that both of them were fired?
I was shocked. I thought a move, for Calvin Booth might have made sense at the end of the regular season. And, I thought Michael Malone at least deserved an opportunity to see out the remainder of this season, see if there was a magic button he could press and maybe turn this thing around a little bit. But to do it with three games left in the regular season, in the middle of a nasty fight for seeding in the playoffs or to avoid the play-in, the timing of it all was really quite shocking. If you'd have told me at the end of the season, the Nuggets bow out in the first and second round and they make both changes, I'm not terribly surprised, but to do it now was quite a shock.
Well, Vinny, I know you've heard the statement from Josh Kroenke about why he decided to do it now. Adelman is going to go ahead and sit in the seat. He still feels that they can turn things around. Do you think that's lip service? Does he really believe this? Is he shoveling the fans crap?
I mean, he might believe it because he's got Nikola Jokic in the locker room, and that's a guy where you can, I guess, say you're going to have the best player in just about any series. But it doesn't really feel like it's a fair shot for David Adelman to prove his worth as a potential replacement with three games left. It's a tough situation for him, and I don't know, if things are so bad that they had to make the move right now, I don't know that you can honestly say three regular season games is enough to make any meaningful changes in terms of style of play, system, or even rotations before before it's all on the line in the postseason.
Vinny Benedetto covers the Nuggets for the Denver Gazette. Now, we know that the Nuggets won the championship 2 years ago. Like a lot of teams, they're faced with the choice of, do we keep the roster together? Do we pay out the behind to keep it together? Do we go into the luxury tax? The Nuggets decided not to do that. And so we heard a lot about the roster and who left and who's there and young guys and what have you. And we know it wasn't ideal. But were you aware that there was this much of a beef between the GM, President Calvin Booth, and then also head coach Michael Malone?
Yeah, I mean, there were brief signs, and I think, you know, if you could, you know, kind of read between the lines in some of their media availabilities, it was quite clear they viewed things quite differently on how they built around, you know, the Nuggets core four, starting five. Calvin Booth has placed a lot of trust in the guys he's scouted in the draft and eventually selected. And, you know, like a guy like Christian Brown is obviously working out. He's having a heck of a season as Denver's fifth starter right now. But he also bet big on guys like Jalen Pickett and Hunter Tyson, who were second round picks. And he gave those guys 3-year guaranteed contracts, which is pretty uncommon for second rounders. And then you looked at, you know, Michael Malone's preference. And, you know, last postseason, he was playing Justin Holiday, who is not currently in the league, over a guy like Peyton Watson in the playoffs. So it was pretty clear. He would, you know, last season he played Reggie Jackson over Pickett. This year, you know, he's obviously gone to Westbrook more than Pickett up until more recently. So Malone has always kind of trusted some of the more veteran guys, even if they are, you know, a bit past their playing prime. But it always felt like a, you know, just more of a difference of opinion up until this season. And it felt like they were taking kind of less veiled shots at each other. The one time we heard from Calvin this season, you know, he pointed out that he thinks Zeke Nnaji is best used as a power forward. And you know, Malone has often played him as a backup center in the search for surviving Nikola Jokic's minutes on the bench. So I think the divide was always there, but it got a whole lot wider over the course of this season.
Well, Vinny, we also know that Michael Malone was never shy in expressing his thoughts and opinions on anything, whether it was another team like the firing of head coach Mike Brown with the Sacramento Kings. I mean, a couple of days ago, he got into his team about their own defense and effort and saying, hey, they're not dedicated in regards to defense and or watching film. Was there kind of a break or a chasm between him and his own locker room?
You look at it, and it would be hard to say otherwise. One thing that has just killed this Nuggets team over and over this season has been transition defense. And for me, that's not like a scheme thing. That is an effort and a communication and a want-to thing. And, you know, Malone would say the same things over and over again, but it just felt like the message wasn't getting through, or the message had gotten stale. And, you know, I think there was even, you know, within the locker room, some division in terms of, you know, some guys felt like they were Calvin guys and other guys felt like they were Malone guys. So I don't think it'd be fair to say he lost the entire locker room, but I think you could certainly say he lost parts of it. And, you know, when the stakes are as high as they are and the expectations are as high as they are around here, it's hard to accomplish much of anything if you've only got buy-in from a certain group of guys.
Vinny Benedetto covers the Denver Nuggets. Well, we know who the guy is on the team, and that's Nikola Jokic. He doesn't come across to me as a guy who's just going to sit around and, you know, throw his weight or his influence. He's just going to show up to work and get triple-doubles and mind his business. To what degree do you believe he had any influence, if at all, on what takes place inside the organization, specifically this?
Yeah, I think your read on Joker is a pretty good one. He sees a pretty clear delineation of responsibilities. To your point, you know, he shows up and plays basketball at the best of his ability. He's never been the one to get too involved in free agent acquisitions or, you know, coaching decisions. But he's also, you know, people around here feel like he's the best player on planet Earth, and in the modern NBA, you got to at least run this by the guy. So I think it's pretty clear that Joker did not go to the Kroenke, the ownership family, and request a change, but he was aware of it prior to the announcement. So I think there had to be some level of consultation, or at least giving Nikola the opportunity to strongly object if he felt that way.
Wow. Not a shock, not a surprise. And I can assume that this man is just going to continue to show up to work. I mean, he's a different cat than a lot of superstars in the league. Some who would say, get me out of here. What are you doing? I don't want to be a part of this. No reason for us to expect that with him at 8:30.
Yeah, I mean, he keeps all of his wants and needs pretty private, but I don't think he's going to do anything too severe like that. I think, you know, he will be, like he was today, he'll be consulted on future moves and, you know, ask for his opinion on certain guys who might be replacing him, but he is not the type to, you know, quit on this team or anything or mail it in for the rest of the season. I think he's got a pretty good relationship with the remainder of the coaching staff. All the assistants are being retained through the rest of the season. So I would expect Joker to be his regular self for the remainder of this season and into next season.
Well, Vinny, as we start to wrap things up, I don't look at this team as in their roster as one that's going to go out there and win a championship, even though they have the best player. What can they do to improve? Because it feels like the stars or the other players surrounding Jokic have peaked. Jamal Murray, we saw the best of him in the championship run. He can't stay healthy, can't put up numbers. Aaron Gordon is what he is. Michael Porter Jr., the contract and what you get out of him doesn't necessarily equate. What can they do to take advantage of having the best player in the league?
Pray? I don't know.
Oh, boy, yeah. Ouch.
You know, I mean, they're down to it. They don't have draft capital. They've, you know, a move they had to make last summer. They had to send 3 second-round picks with Reggie Jackson to get off of his contract and make room for Russell Westbrook. They sent more picks out to move up in the draft to draft Daron Holmes, who missed the entirety of what should have been his rookie season with a torn Achilles. So then you're down to trading some guys. And to your point, you know, Jamal signed a big extension last summer and he struggled to stay healthy again this year, which obviously, you know, reduces his trade value considerably. You know, I think they did explore the idea of moving off of Michael Porter Jr. in a deal that would, you know, bring back 2 rotation players, but Mike was probably going to be the best player in that trade. So, you know, I don't know how much of a meaningful improvement that would be. And, you know, his trade value is really tricky because he's also on a max contract and he's got the medical history that I'm sure would be flagged by some teams around the league. So you look at this team in the path to getting better, and I think they've just got to bank on some steps forward, you know, leaning on a guy like or banking on a Peyton Watson to make a leap next season, because they don't have the draft capital. They're pretty locked into their top 4 financially, and you know they haven't hit a home run with a guy on the, you know, the mid-level exception or whatever, you know, end of the bench guys on minimum contracts outside of, you know, Russell Westbrook has been pretty good for most of the season. Obviously, you know, had some crucial mistakes in the last week or two that you know, started this 4-game losing streak. But the path for the Nuggets getting significantly better in the next year or two is certainly a tricky one.
Oh, it is tricky. This is the last one for you. We know Jokic marches to the beat of his own drum. He's 30 years old. He can decide to opt out of his contract for the 2027-28 season. Do you think he'd be the type of dude that would just accept the trade anywhere at the end, or ultimately just say, I'm done with this, I'm leaving the league?
I think he'd lean closer to leaving the league than requesting or demanding a trade. He has spoken over the course of his career about wanting to be a guy like Tim Duncan, who has played the entirety of his career in one spot and accomplished a lot. And, you know, I think a lot of it probably has to do with how things go in this next year or two. But if the options were him just walking away from the NBA or him requesting a trade to another team, I think it's more likely he is back in Serbia and committing to his second career as a horse trainer.
Yeah, that would not shock anybody at all. Well, Vinny, thank you so much for the time. Where can people follow you and all of your work with the Denver Gazette?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter or X and Blue Sky at VBenedetto, BENEDETTO. And all my work from the Gazette is out there as well at DenverGazette.com.
Hey, Vinny, what a hot end to the season in you, huh? Keeping you busy.
Yeah, keeping me busy. It's like a not quite a championship run, but it's a whole lot of work all the same.
Yeah, only 2 years later, here we are. Hey, thank you, Vinny. We'll catch you on down the line, okay?
Absolutely. Appreciate it, JR.
No doubt about it. That Vinny Benedetto covers all things Denver Nuggets for the Denver Gazette. As I said, Nikola Jokic, he has two more years left on his contract after this. Two. That's it. And he has the opportunity to opt out of that last year if he should choose. And so I'm just like, man, if they get to the end and he's just like, do I want to sign another contract or do I want to quit? Nikola Jokic is the type of guy that would disappear and maybe you see him in Denver once every 2 or 3 years. No interviews, no nothing. Hickey, I could see Nikola Jokic almost like Tim Duncan. Like, I feel like he's like Sasquatch. He's like Bigfoot, the Loch Ness Monster. It's like you get a photo of Tim Duncan every 2 or 3 years. All of a sudden now he has his hair is locked. It gets longer and longer. He just looks like he rolled off of the beach. God bless him. And I think that's what we might get with Jokic, maybe even less frequent.
I was going to say definitely less frequent. I mean, his jersey retirement, maybe like a 10-year or 15, 20-year reunion of the championship. Other than that, I mean, what reason do you see Nikola Jokic coming back to the U.S.? Nice. He's got his horses in Serbia. He's right. Got his family there. What else does he need?
The guy he's going to make $60 million a year playing basketball. You're like, let me collect my checks and go home. Like, what am I sticking around out here for? I don't blame him. Are there any other stars? And when you really think about it, outside of the more recent crop of guys who've retired, where everybody has a podcast, I mean, everyone from Ben Roethlisberger down to, I don't know, Jeff Teague. Like, everybody has a show. Everybody has a podcast. But if you think about, like, legends, outside of the guys who have gotten into coaching or they are now in media, like, there's a lot of dudes. Like, Larry Bird keeps a low profile. I couldn't tell you the last time I saw Larry Bird. Like, wasn't he at the All-Star game last year? I think that was it.
I think you're right. I think. I mean, that's a fair point. He's not come out in public very often.
Yeah, Larry Bird minds his business. Pat Riley, I mean, he runs an entire team. He pops up once a year, maybe twice. Yeah, Jokic is going to be good as a ghost whenever he decides to walk away. And please believe, there will be no LeBron James retirement tour. There will be no massive press conference. We will just get word that he's not coming back. Hickey, he says thank you, right? He sends like a 3-sentence thank you to Nuggets fans. Is that it? And he's gone.
3 sentences feels a little generous, but probably. 2 sentences?
It's going to come on behalf of the Nuggets because he smartly doesn't use social media. Good for him.
That's right. That's very true.
It'll have to come from the Nuggets via Nikola Jokic. Thank you.
I'm going home now.
Yeah. Whenever he's done, and his Hall of Fame speech will be interesting. He probably will decline even showing up.
Probably true. Does it like video from Serbia?
Hello. Hi. Thank you. What is he going to say? I don't know. Like, Kawhi Leonard is in the same space. What is Kawhi's induction going to be like when he gets into the Hall of Fame?
I can't even do an impersonation of his voice, but I mean,
you play the laugh. I don't know. Is it funny?
Who would you say would be longer, Kawhi or Nikola Jokic's?
Ooh.
Both under 3 minutes, I feel like.
I think Jokic would be longer than Kawhi.
Okay.
Kawhi, hi, everybody. Thank you. I wanted to play my best, and I did. Now I'm in the Hall of Fame. Thank you all so much. That's it. Done.
That's pretty good.
Done. You know, we have entered into, I thought some of the guys that have already retired were personalities. Think about some of the legends of the NBA, big personalities, the Gary Paytons and the Shaqs and the Michael Jordans. Hickey, I don't remember a damn thing about Shaquille O'Neal's Hall of Fame speech. Do you?
No, it was a meme, so I don't really know.
It was a meme?
No, it said it wasn't. Sorry.
It wasn't?
Memed, so.
Shaq's not memorable. Gary Payton, I don't remember anything. I don't remember a lot of these guys going in. But I feel like we are entering into an era where the future Hall of Famers, when they stand up there on that stage, it's just going to be crazy. Dwight Howard, James Harden, Kawhi Leonard, Nikola Jokic. Think about this. Draymond Green, all things considered, is likely to be a Hall of Famer. Say again, Hickey?
Oh, no, sorry. I was agreeing. That was the name I was waiting for you to say.
Oh, Draymond?
That's the one that's going to be memorable.
He's going to go on for like 30 minutes.
Probably all the wrong reasons, too.
Yeah. These personalities are crazy right now that are going in the hole. James Harden, what is he going to stand up there and say? Kevin Durant. Russell Westbrook. Sign me up. I'm here for it all. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break when we come back. Speaking of Nikola Jokic, we know what state he plays in. Colorado. We're going to talk about a football player from Colorado whose stock might be falling in the upcoming draft. His name is Shedeur Sanders. We'll talk more basketball and football. We got it all. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Man, in a day that's just, I mean, I'm looking for the good news of the day. Looking for the good news. I mean, we got a basketball game not too long ago. I mean, right now, the Memphis Grizzlies are playing the Charlotte Hornets. The Grizzlies are smoking them 78-56. But right before we got to the first half, Memphis Grizzlies rookie Jalen Wells, he went up for a dunk. He's a rookie. He's flying through the air, ridiculously athletic. He's flying up, and he gets fouled by KJ Simpson. He loses his hands on the rim. It seems like he was undercut. KJ Simpson was charged with a flagrant two and was ejected. And the bad thing is that Jalen Wells was on the court for quite some time. It felt like almost approximately 10 minutes from him going down until, you know, he was stretchered and put onto the court, not conscious. Just not good. So wishing all the best to Jalen Wells. He's been transported to a hospital. Oh, my God. Yeah, they had to wait for another ambulance to, arrive at the basketball game. They always have the ambulance and just there in case something terrible like this happens. So we don't know what happened. Just wishing him all of the best in what has just been a wild, wild 24 hours just in the basketball space. Wow. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Todd is here from Maryland. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. Todd, what's up?
Hey, JR, I want to do a prediction about Shedeur Sanders.
Okay.
I think he's going to the Giants, and later on his brother will be picked, so they'll both be on the Giants. And down the road in a year or two, Papa Deion Sanders is coming to the Giants. That's my prediction. Now, okay. The other thing is, JR, Tamler and Hank hit it out today, April 8th. I think it was 1976 or so.
Yeah, Todd, we will do our This Day in Sports History about an hour from now, Todd.
Oh, all right. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be too punch, brother.
No, you didn't do anything. You're just doing my job, Todd. We appreciate it. I'm joking with you.
I hear you, my brother. Take care.
All right, Todd. Yes.
Bye.
Okay, take care. Thank you, Todd. Hickey, we got to give Todd his own This Day in Sports History segment.
I know. I like it. He's on top of it.
Yeah, he is. He's good. And we certainly knew that took place today. I actually talked about it a couple days ago. I think it was the fourth where he tied Babe Ruth at 714. So, yeah, in an hour from now, we'll share with you a few things that took place this day in sports history. Here in Atlanta, the Braves always do a tremendous job in honoring Hammer and Hank. And we'll do the same thing in about an hour from now. You beat us to the punch. You did. He went ahead and broke Babe Ruth's all-time home run record. So we'll get into that next hour. We'll do that. And also, you talk about Shedeur Sanders. Could the New York Giants really function with Shedeur Sanders as their quarterback and Deion Sanders as their coach? That seems like the most un-New York Giants thing ever. The New York Giants operate as a football franchise. They're just very, very plain. They're very vanilla. There's nothing exciting about the New York Giants. I mean, even if I got to go back through the course of their history, they're just like, it seems like they're corporate suits, you know, that put on, they're not blue collar in that regard. The New York Giants seemingly have never had a taste of personality. The New York Giants don't even have cheerleaders. Associating a cheerleader with the New York Giants just doesn't even fit together. That's how straight the New York Giants are. To think that they would bring on someone so opinionated, eccentric as Deion Sanders, to me, it's also already a slight stretch that they would bring on Shador. But we'll talk about that in a second. We'll get into that on the other side of the break. We'll get into Shador's draft stock. We'll talk about what Todd just said from Maryland. Is it possible for Deion to ultimately join his son? We'll give you a recap of everything going on tonight in the world of sports and what has been a crazy 24 hours in a basketball world. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.